from KUOW 94.9 Seattle. I'm Ross Reynolds. This is The Conversation. The Washington legislature hopes to deliver a budget to Governor Jay Inslee by the end of the day. The House and Senate reached a handshake deal on a $33.6 billion state budget for the next 2 years. Governor Inslee says he expects to sign the budget into law by 5 p.m., thus averting a state government shutdown on Monday. KUOW's Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins joins us with more. Austin, thanks for your time.
Good afternoon, Ross.
Is the deal still on? Has either house of the legislature passed this budget?
Not yet, but the Senate is planning to do so after the lunch hour, and from all appearances, the deal is still on. There are some members that I've run into today who are a little grumpy about little details and things that perhaps came up that were unexpected, but I saw House Budget Chair Ross Hunter literally bounding up the steps of the Capitol this morning, and he said, "We're like a herd of horses who can smell the barn."
Well, one of the big details in the budget, $1 billion for K-12 education. But is that enough to satisfy the state Supreme Court, which found in the McCleary decision that state government is failing its paramount duty under the Constitution to fund basic education?
Well, the state legislature certainly hopes it's enough. It's the number that's been sort of the working number all along, although going back to House Budget Chair Ross Hunter, he had a higher number going into the session, and so does State School Superintendent Randy Dorn, who said the minimum in his mind, based on his reading of the Supreme Court decision, the minimum down payment next two years should be $1.4 billion. So that's an open question. Will the Supreme Court accept this as substantial progress towards starting to pay the bill or not? And again, I get back to the idea that the legislature certainly hopes so. I am hearing some pushback from the state teachers union today. They say their spin on this is that they feel like a third of that $1 billion is being paid for off their backs because they're not going to get, once again, cost of living increases. The legislature is going to suspend those.
That's right. Voters approved that some years ago, but the raises have only been sporadically funded. When tough budget times, the legislature just suspends them. But I understand it's a precondition for implementing this new budget.
Well, a precondition meaning they're not going to fund them.
Right.
And that's a bitter pill for the state teachers to swallow in as much as, the economy is starting to recover. And once again, they feel like this $1 billion more as a down payment for McCleary is coming out of their hides. At least a third of it is.
Now, do we know how the state Supreme Court will rule on whether or not this is sufficient? Do they, like sometime next week, assuming the budget is signed and goes into place, do they gather and say, nope, not good enough, or that's fine? How do they make that decision?
Yeah, I don't think, knowing the Supreme Court, that it's going to be like that. They tend to be deliberative and take their time. And the reality is there is sensitivity around the separate branches of government. So it is... again, it's unclear whether the court will look at this. There is a sort of regular process of revisiting and updating, and even I think at least an annual report on the status of progress. But the question becomes, if they're $400 million short, to use Randy Dorn's number, is that going to be enough for the court to say, well, you got close but not close enough, so we're going to ding you? And that starts to get to the question of how much does the judicial branch want to be stepping into the legislative branch's business.
Now, tell us what else is significant to know about this budget deal. We know some of the details, but do we know what else jumped out at you?
Well, the big thing that jumps out is what fell off the table in these negotiations, and the fact that they took so long that didn't really change the outcome dramatically. I think we all sort of assumed this was what was going to happen, and that is that the Senate, mostly Republican majority, had been adamant from day one that they didn't want tax increases, and that included in the form of closing tax exemptions. So with the exception of the estate tax, quote-unquote, fix, as advocates would call it, and a residential telephone tax exemption that's going to go away, also the result of some court concerns, the list that the governor had put forth, the list of tax exemptions the House Democrats had put forth for closure, those aren't in this budget. Those fell off the table. On the policy, quote-unquote, reform side from the Senate, most of their reforms have fallen off the table. The probably the, the chief or key one was changes to the state's workers' compensation system to allow younger workers who are permanently injured to take lump sum payments instead of pension payments over their lifetime. That is not part of this final deal. So a lot of their priorities just fell away to try to find some common ground in a compromise.
I'm speaking to KUOW's Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins. Now, there's the state budget, which was what we've been talking about, and then there's a transportation budget, which this always confuses me. Explain to me again, why are there two budgets?
There's actually three. There's the state operating budget, the transportation budget, and the capital construction budget, which also still needs to pass. They previously did the transportation budget. It's basically just a maintenance budget, and that was done and done in a bipartisan fashion. What is not bipartisan at this point, and what is still outstanding, is whether the legislature will pass a 10.5-cent gas tax increase to fund maintenance and preservation of existing roads and to put funding into projects, new projects that are yet unfunded. The House has passed that. It did so yesterday. It is receiving a very cool reception in the Senate. There are members of the Senate who say that thing is dead on arrival, but it's also a top priority of the governor and supporters, including the business and labor community. I should mention that the Association of Washington Business tweeted this morning that the Senate should get behind this, is going to put a lot of pressure on the Senate. And so there is a broad coalition. It's not just the governor who want this, but boy, the Senate just does not seem to be too keen on it.
Well, what's your read on this? Time is running out on this special session. Would the governor call the legislature back into another special session just to pass the transportation budget?
Well, it's running out, but it's also, they've still got, I think, till the 11th of July. So if they don't adjourn, they could come back still in this second special session. We're getting word today that the governor may not sign the operating budget until Sunday, which would give his staff a couple extra days to take a look at the details of it. But some people have suggested that maybe he's using that as leverage to get the transportation package. No evidence that that's the case, but you know, everything here is inextricably linked, and it's certainly a priority of his. But as soon as they pass that operating budget and send it to the governor's office, I think a lot of the oxygen leaves the room. And, man, people are dying to get home.
It's going to be nice this weekend. Austin, this is Governor Jay Inslee's first legislative session. How did he do in getting what he wanted to get done?
You know, this was not easy because he's now up against split control. You know, you've got his fellow Democrats in the House, but a mostly Republican majority in the Senate. And so he was facing a situation that Governor Greg Ward did not, at least in her later years in office. And even then, when it was Democratic one-party rule, they had a lot of trouble getting a budget and getting agreement on policy. In the wins column, you can put climate change. The governor got his climate change bill, admittedly with some changes. He got a DUI crackdown bill that he says is not the absolute fix he wanted, but it's progress, and he says there's work to be done to further address the issue of drunk drivers on the roads, but that's certainly in the win category. Medicaid expansion, which was actually not a big fight, surprisingly, he can put that in the win category, and certainly this $1 billion for education. And he would add that, you know, the Democrats managed in this final budget to prevent additional cuts to social services. But there are also, Ross, some notable losses. Probably top on that list, because he talked about it in his inaugural speech, was the Reproductive Parity Act. But I would also add to that list the background check bill for gun purchases, which he worked very hard to pass. The DREAM Act didn't pass. And again, he had a long list of, or a fairly robust list of tax exemptions and preferential rates he wanted to go away, partly, he argued, to fund education going forward, not just in this current budget, but in the future years. And those did not pass, with the couple of exceptions I mentioned previously.
KUOW's Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins. Have a great weekend, Austin.
You too, Ross. Thanks.